Radio Prague News. Civic Democrat Mirek Topolánek and the Social Democrats Jiří Paroubek have failed to come to agreement at coalition support talks. The Independent Democrats have filed a complaint with the Supreme Court against Czech TV's pre-election coverage. And Czech President Václav Klaus is celebrating his 65th birthday. The leader of the right-of-center Civic Democrats, Mirek Topolánek, has said he rejected the conditions set by Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek for his party's support. The Civic Democrats are trying to form a coalition with two smaller parties, but the three would be one seat short of a majority in the lower house and would need the Social Democrats' support to win a vote of confidence in parliament. Jiří Paroubek, whose Social Democrats came second in recent elections, has said he would not rule out supporting a government led by the election's winners if they reconsidered their plans for a flat tax and the privatization of public services. The Independent Democrats, led by TV magnate turned politician Vladimir Železný, have filed a complaint with the Supreme Court against Czech TV's pre-election coverage. In the weeks prior to the elections, Czech television aired a series of debates with leaders of the parties taking part in the election. The Independent Democrats, a smaller party, say they were not given the same amount of opportunity to promote their agenda as representatives of larger parties. Former Czech President Václav Havel and South African Nobel laureate Desmond Tutu have urged the United Nations to pass a resolution against Burma's human rights violations. The two peace activists say that the lack of international action gives regimes like the military regime in Burma a sense of impunity. Their letter was sent on the occasion of the 61st birthday of Aung San Suu Kyi, a Burmese pro-democracy activist and Nobel Peace Laureate who's been under house arrest or similar forms of detention for over a decade. Czech NGOs have joined their counterparts from Poland, Austria, Denmark and Spain to mark July the 19th as a day promoting equal opportunities for women and men. The day is marked for the first time this year and was designated by the Czech Gender Studies Organization. With various events and information campaigns, attention is to be brought to the different roles that men and women play at the workplace and in the family. And Czech President Václav Klaus is celebrating his 65th birthday on Monday. Mr. Klaus will be spending the day with friends and family at Prague Castle. His spokesman, Petr Hájek, has not revealed any further details of the president's birthday plans. I'm Dita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
Tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and I'm Linda Maštalíš. In today's program, we take a look at the weekend's election results across the border in Slovakia. The great Czech jazz singer Vlasta Pruchová has died, and we have the latest news from the world of sports, so please stay tuned. Just 2 weeks after elections here in the Czech Republic, neighboring Slovaks went to the polls this past Saturday. From a comparative perspective, there are several interesting highlights. For one, the Communist Party in Slovakia won only 3.8% of the vote, not enough to make it into parliament. And while voter turnout in the Czech Republic was surprisingly high at 64%, Slovakia saw a historically low election turnout of 54%. Yet, as analysts predicted, the Social Democratic Party, led by Robert Fico, won the Slovak elections with 29% of the vote. In fact, Mr. Fico's Smer won in every Slovak region except for the capital city of Bratislava and the two southern regions of Nitra and Trnava, where Bela Buga's Hungarian coalition party earned a majority. Our Rob Cameron is in Bratislava and joins me by phone. Rob, what happens now that Robert Fico's Smer has won 50 seats in the Slovak parliament, while they need at least 76 to govern?
Well, what happens now is that the president of Slovakia, Ivan Gašparovič, asks Mr. Fico, as the winner of the elections, a party which emerged as the biggest party in parliament with a third of the seats to try and form a new government. But that's about all we know at the moment, because those talks on forming a coalition are complicated, because Mr. Fico has actually very few options open to him. He can either try and woo some of Mr. Zurinda's present coalition allies on the right, but they, of course, don't share his left-wing agenda, or he can turn to two very controversial parties, the Movement for a Democratic Slovakia, the former authoritarian Prime Minister Vladimir Mečiar, or the far-right nationalist Jan Slota. And obviously that kind of coalition would be extremely controversial and would probably be met with some dismay abroad.
Now, Jiří Paroubek, the Czech Social Democratic leader, was quick to comment that if he were in Robert Fico's shoes, he'd work to build a grand coalition with Mikuláš Zurinda. Is this feasible?
I would say that is probably the least likely option on the table. It's far more likely that Mr. Fico will attempt to lure one of Mr. Zurinda's present coalition allies and perhaps Mr. Mečiar's party, maybe without Mr. Mečiar, into some kind of coalition. And if that fails, then Mr. Zurinda, of course, would have a chance to try and form a government, in which case he would stick with his present coalition allies, plus Mr. Mečiar's party, again, possibly without Mr. Mečiar. But the idea, I think, of a grand coalition between Mr. Fico and Mr. Zurinda is really the least likely outcome of this election.
Now, what about Vladimir Mečiar? International audiences were, of course, waiting to see what his result would be. It was Mr. Mečiar's worst election result ever. He garnered 360,000 less voters than he did in 2002. What happened to his loyal followers?
Well, many of his loyal followers have deserted him over the last few years, and that's partly because people like Mr. Fico of Smer, who many accuse of being a populist, he denies that, of course, have simply stolen Mr. Mečiar's thunder. Indeed, Mr. Mečiar has also cozied up rather to right-wing parties in recent years, and that has, in its turn, put off a lot of his traditionally left-wing, centre-left voters. So lots of people have been sort of confused by Mr. Mečiar's conciliatory tone towards the right-wing parties, Mr. Zurinda among them, and a lot of people simply didn't know who they were voting for anymore, and I think that's why Mr. Mečiar has lost. And incidentally, this is the first time in three elections that Mr. Mečiar has not won. He won the previous two elections, but was, of course, unable to form a government. Now he's lost and done very badly indeed.
And what about the Communist Party in Slovakia, Rob?
Well, they failed to get into parliament. I think that was widely predicted, again, because parties such as Smer, Robert Fico, the left-wing party, and Mr. Mečiar's party have again stolen their thunder. These parties have been very, very successful in attracting many votes which would naturally go to the communists.
And what about your predictions on how coalition building will proceed?
It's very difficult to say. I was taken to task, let's say, by quite a few friends here, Slovaks, who said that we really shouldn't count out Mr. Zurinda. He is Central Europe's longest-serving prime minister. He is described, I think, by the Financial Times as a kind of Machiavelli of politics here. He is a survivor, a political survivor, and I think it is quite likely, possibly even very likely, that we haven't heard the last of Mr. Zurinda yet. So watch out for him, I think.
Rob Cameron on the phone there with me from Bratislava. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio.
Docela všední, obyčejný den k večeru o půl šesté. Ulice hoří do tmy neonem. V tom starém pohádkovém městě docela všední den, víc kouzla má než krásný sen.
The unmistakable voice there of the First Lady of Czech Jazz, Vlasta Pruchová, who, sadly, died on Friday in Prague after a long illness. Until a few years ago, she appeared regularly at Prague jazz clubs, alongside some of the most talented Czech musicians, and her latest album came out just this year. Pavla Horáková now reports on Vlasta Pruchová's life and art.
Vlasta Pruchová died in a Prague hospital less than a month before her 80th birthday. She was born in 1926 in the Slovak town of Ružomberok, and she made her first appearance in 1946. During her career, spanning more than 50 years, Vlasta Pruchová sang with some of the most illustrious Czech musicians and jazz ensembles. She became greatly popular in the 1950s and 60s when she performed alongside her husband, Jan Hammer, a jazz musician, composer and also a heart specialist. She also sang with a band co-founded by her son Jan Hammer Jr. Jan later became an internationally acclaimed jazz musician. In an interview he gave Radio Prague last summer, Jan Hammer explained how his family influenced his future career.
Well, obviously, you know, growing up in a family like that, there was barely anything I could, you know, else I could do. Even though I almost became a doctor, which is what my father was as well, in addition to being a musician and a composer. But by the time I was about 16 years old, my work in the music field has gotten, you know, so good, I guess, or so rewarding, and I was able to support myself pretty much, that I decided that that was going to be my career.
When Louis Armstrong appeared in Prague in 1965, Vlasta Pruchová invited him over for dinner, and they also had a jamming session together. In 1968, the whole family spent a year in Washington, D.C. Jan Hammer Jr. decided to stay in the United States, where he continued in his successful music career. Even though Vlasta Pruchová worked in the music business for over half a century, she left only a precious few recordings behind. Jazz music was regarded as too American and frowned upon by the communist regime, and also the fact her son Jan Hammer lived in the United States was used against her by the authorities. In 2003, Vlasta Pruchová was awarded a high state honor by President Václav Klaus, who was her keen fan and a friend. Until a few years ago, she still sang live several times a month, having become a living legend of Czech jazz. Vlasta Pruchová will be greatly missed by both Czech jazz musicians and fans.
A nebo bloudí v dlouhé samotě, tisíce lidí bez naději, den šťastných schůzek, den smutných rozchodů, den plný krás, den marných smů. Zatímco kolem planou lampy tmou, za mořem ráno vstává.
The fabulous voice of Vlasta Pruchová there, ending that report. And from here we go to the latest in the World Cup. After a brilliant performance against the United States, the Czech Republic continued in its bid to qualify for the knockout stage at the Football World Cup. But on Saturday, things went far differently against Ghana. Forget about winning, or even etching out a tie, the Czechs were stopped dead in their tracks. Jan Wellinger has more.
Pundits and World Cup organizers always said that Group E, with the Czech Republic, the USA, Italy and Ghana, was never going to be easy. And this weekend proved them right. On Saturday, the group was blown wide open, Italy and the USA fighting to a 1-1 draw, and the Czech Republic suffering one of the shock defeats of the tournament, a 2-0 loss to Ghana. The score would have been far more lopsided had it not been for a stunning Petr Čech, the only Czech player on Saturday displaying brilliance on the pitch. Had he not stopped four or five clear chances, it would have been a blowout. Afterwards, here's what Čech had to say.
They were very well organized, and they were waiting for the counter attacks, and became much more difficult for us. That what happened, and the second half, the game was completely broken. Up, it was running up and down, and they created some chances. We didn't expect this result because we wanted to play well, and we wanted to earn some points, at least one, and we wanted to win. But we have our destiny in our hands. And in the last game, we just need to win against Italy, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Certainly on Saturday, the Czech Republic paled considerably next to Ghana, who showed verve and inexhaustible speed, always to the ball first. It also didn't help the Czechs that Ghana were able to score less than 2 minutes into the game. The second half then saw what can only be described as a flurry of drives, stopped by the Czech keeper again and again. Ghana even missed a penalty. But by then the tide against the Czechs was so strong it was only a matter of time before Ghana struck a second goal. What can the Czechs take, or rather gain, from Saturday? Resolve to try and upset Italy in a surprise win. If they are to secure a definite place in the knockout stages, they will have to down the group favorites. And that's not easy at the best of times. The team is still missing key attackers Jan Koller and Milan Baroš. On Saturday, Pavel Nedved admitted that their absence had already been felt.
Koller, Baroš, any team missing players like them would feel it. But that's the situation, and there's nothing we can do about it except fight on. It's obvious we're weaker without them. We've got to sum up the situation and see what kind of game we can play against the Italians. I don't think they're going to give us much room or many chances, and there's only a slim chance we'll qualify for the next round. But we've got to put up a fight.
Players like Uifaluši and Lukvens, who were carded, will also miss the next game. That means, once again, much of the responsibility will lie with midfielders like Pavel Nedved and Tomáš Rosický, as well as striker Marek Heinz. Can the team pull together? Fans certainly hope so. In the end, even a tie might see the Czechs through, but then everything would depend directly on the outcome of the U.S.-Ghana game. A loss against Italy, though, will mean it's all over.
And that was Jan Wellinger with the latest Czech-related news from the World Cup. You're tuned to Radio Prague, where it's now time for One-on-One with Ian Willoughby.
As chairman and CEO of Česká spořitelna Bank, Jack Stack is one of the best-known foreign businessmen in the Czech Republic. As well as being personally popular, he's also admired for turning around the bank's fortunes. When he took the helm at the turn of the decade, it was deeply in the red. Today, it's making billions of crowns in profits. When I met Mr. Stack at his Prague 4 office, I asked him what was the secret of his success at Česká spořitelna.
I think the secret of the success is energizing the people of Česká spořitelna into both, you know, adopting the right direction, the right strategies, and becoming much more professional in the banking business. I was able to use my 22 years of experience in the United States, but more than banking knowledge, it was getting the Česká spořitelna folks to believe in themselves and to believe and work very, very hard to change Česká spořitelna, which was a failing bank, into a modern financial services provider.
In general, how does doing business here compare to doing business in the States?
Good question. I think banking is very, very similar, whether it's in the United States, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. I think dealing with businesses, corporations, it's 100% the same between the Czech Republic and other places. The corporations here are very, very modern. I think on the retail side, dealing with consumers, it's about 75% the same as any place in the world, and 25% is local. You have to adapt to the local environment. You have to start to understand how people look at financial services. I think the consumers in particular in the Czech Republic are not as financially sophisticated and haven't purchased as many products as the typical American or EU consumer has. But that's changing rapidly, and the Czech consumer is becoming more familiar with financial products.
Would you say that banking in this country, or that Czechs rather, went straight from cash to credit cards without anything in between, like checks, for example?
Well, I think it's great we don't have checks in the Czech Republic. But, you know, we went straight from cash to payments, electronic payments. In general, the Czech consumer, which everybody is concerned about, is relatively conservative in their borrowing practices. When we look at lending to the Czech consumer versus lending to, in my home country, Americans, you know, Americans have borrowed a lot already and want to borrow more. The typical Czech consumer, you know, hasn't borrowed anything before, is a first-time borrower, and is just getting used to the idea of I can borrow money to help me buy a home, I can borrow money to help me furnish a home. And I think is acting very responsibly. So I don't think it's moved from cash to credit cards and a free lifestyle, a hedonist lifestyle of borrowing and never paying back. I haven't seen that at all.
Generally speaking, the Czech economy is doing very well. Every week, every month, we read good figures, the latest figures. What do you think the Czechs need to do to maintain that healthy economy and to keep going in the right direction?
I think it's very important that the government addresses deficit spending, pension reform, investment in education, and investment in health care. We need to address those, because if we don't address those, they will be a drag on the future economy. I believe that the SME sector and unemployment coming down, GNP growing, foreign direct investment, the overall legal structure is in place, and accession to the EU has been a great benefit with regard to exporters. And we're living in pretty good times now, although it hasn't affected all segments of the population. But as you look out over the next 5 years, unless we go after pension reform and health care and deficit spending, the deficit spending really must be addressed, and education, it's going to hurt us. And if you don't address it during good times, it's much harder to address it when there's a cyclical possible downturn.
Again, about your own personal experience, did you find any kind of cultural barriers when you came to work here in terms of getting on with your colleagues or your subordinates?
I don't know if it was cultural barriers, but I am not good in languages. So that was a real hindrance as I struggled with the language. I think also it took adapting on my part and my family's part with regard to how to adjust to the way things are done in the Czech Republic. I mean, it's everything from in America we don't assign seating in movies, whereas you go to the kino here, it's assigned seating, to where's the dry cleaner, to dressing much more formally here. The first time I went to a concert at the Rudolfinum, I had a sport jacket and an open neck shirt on, and that was clearly not the thing to do. And I now whenever I go to an event, whatever it says, I try to dress even more formally than it says, because I know it's much more formal here.
Do you enjoy living here in Prague, you and your family?
You know, when we first moved from New York, I was born in New York and raised in New York, so I'm one of those people who has spent all their lives in New York. And I came here. When I would leave New York, I would say to my daughter, who lives in New York, I'm going to Prague. Now, and that was 1999 and 2000. Now, when I leave New York and I say goodbye to my daughter, I say I'm going home. So both my wife and I have grown to love both the Czech Republic and living in Prague, and have really, in a sense, for folks who only lived in America and now having lived in Europe for 6 years, you look at the world a little bit differently. You understand more where other people are coming from. And, to be here in Prague over the past 6 years with the economic advances that have taken place, with EU accession, it's been a very exciting time period to be here.
Are there any particular events or things that happened in that period that stand out?
I think in particular EU accession for a banker was a very big deal, because the EU helped the Czech Republic put in place the structures that were necessary for the economic growth that we're now experiencing. And we wouldn't be experiencing this economic growth without EU membership and putting in place the structures. The other thing that kind of stands out is I'm a big lover of Prague Spring, and I've actually seen Prague Spring and the International Music Festival develop along with Smetana's Lidomyshl. So I kind of have a great event in the sense that each May it comes and it gets better and better each May. So those are some of the things that stand out.
But still, you're planning to leave Prague next year, I believe?
That's right. Next summer, a year from now, we're planning to move back to New York. I think it's two factors. One factor clearly is I've been in this job 7 years at that point. It's time for a change. It's time for somebody else to come in with a lot of energy to energize the troops. And two, I'm 61, and next year I'll be 61. And it's a little bit time to kind of go to New York, which is my hometown, and reacquaint myself. I need to reacquaint myself with New York.
Jack Stack, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian. I really enjoyed it. And I'm a big fan of Radio Prague.
And One-on-One with Ian Willoughby brings us to the end of today's program. We'll be looking forward to your comments, so please write to us at Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, Czech Republic. You can also listen to all of our programs again and again via our website, www.radio.cz. So please tune in again the same time tomorrow. And until then, from me, Linda Mashtalis, and everyone here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I understand. And in a little while, he takes my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both want to move. Maybe I shall meet him someday. Maybe Monday, maybe not. Cause I'm sure to meet him one day. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. So build a little room, just meant for two. Don't wait till never own, who would you? And I'm a lot of all, I'm waiting for the man I love.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz. CZ/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.